This is episode number 937 with New York Times bestselling author Chris Guillebeau.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Mark Twain said, "The lack of money is the root of all evil." Welcome to this episode all about how to create your side hustle and take control of your money with my good friend, Chris Guillebeau. And I like this quote. When I read this quote, "The lack of money is the root of all evil," I actually thought about its significance and how, you know, when you don't have money, you start to have a sense of scarcity. You start to maybe do some bad things. You start to feel bad. And those feelings turn into bad decisions and bad actions. Now, I'm not saying having money, it makes you this perfect person. That's not the case. You still got to make the right decisions. But when you don't have money, you come from more of a place of scarcity in general. You come from more of a place of needing something in general. And I want to make sure that you have some information, some tools, some inspiration today to really inspire you to learn about these principles, to learn how you can create your own side hustle, and all the different stuff that we're going to be talking about the myths of creating wealth and how you can create wealth, about how to figure out what you're good at to create a side hustle business, why you don't need to have a big brand to make a lot of money. In fact, there's so many people in our monthly Inner Circle members area that have small followings, 100 people, a few hundred people here and there, but you can still make 5 to 10, 15 grand a month with the right consulting or the right coaching or the right offers with your audience. The importance of impact over having millions of followers, that and so much more. I'm super excited about this. If you don't know who Chris is, he's a New York Times bestselling author and modern day explorer. During a lifetime of self-employment that included a four-year commitment as a volunteer executive in West Africa, he visited every country in the world, 193 in total, before his 35th birthday. Since then, he has modeled and proven the definition of an entrepreneur, which is someone who will work 24 hours a day for themselves to avoid working 1 hour a day for someone else. In his podcast, Side Hustle School, it's downloaded a ton of times every month, and he hosts an event called the World Domination Summit. He's got many great books, and his newest one is called The Money Tree, Finding the Fortune in Your Backyard, and it's out right now. And if you're interested in learning how to build a side hustle, we have a free training right now, a free masterclass that you can get this week. Just go to lewishowes.com/now, where I'm going to break down how I built many side hustle businesses and turn them into profitable businesses through building a personal brand and how you can do with our proven process. So go to lewishowes.com/now and sign up for that free masterclass from me on teaching you how to build your side hustle as well. I am so excited about this episode because it's all about mastering the side hustle and making sure you're set up with your career, with your business, with your income, doing the thing that you love. So without further ado, let's dive into this with the one and only Chris Guillebeau.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. and you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Nike, Walmart, and Zappos. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Welcome back. I'm one of the School of Greatness podcast. We've got my good friend Chris Guillebeau in the house.
Oh,
my man.
How you doing?
And the star in Chasing Greatness.
Oh, you know, my little 30-second cameo. But thank you.
It's a great moment, though.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
It emphasized.
It's a beautiful documentary.
Thank you.
So glad a lot of people are watching it. Everybody should watch it if they haven't already.
Yeah, so we just watched the world premiere last night of Chasing Greatness. You were there.
Packed house.
Incredible. At the Grove. Greatness.com if you want to watch it, but we've been working on this for a couple of years, and we interviewed you like 2.5 years ago for this documentary.
I had forgotten about it.
You forgot about it?
You sent me the clip, and I was like, "Where? Oh, yeah, right. It's good, though."
And
so good. It's so
thank you. Yeah, thank you for coming down. You've got a new book out called The Money Tree, which is funny because someone did a podcast 5-6 years ago called The Money Pillow.
Money Pillow.
They stopped it.
Okay. But I think Money Tree's better, actually, branding-wise, but go ahead.
Yeah. But it was kind of like, The Money Pillow was like making money in your sleep.
Okay, that's cool.
So it was like the concept of like how to create passive income.
Right, fair.
But I like The Money Tree, and it's a story about finding the fortune in your own backyard. Mm-hmm. So how do we build something in our own backyard that makes us money?
Yeah, so this book is a story, actually. I've done 6 how-to books. Right, 6 nonfiction books. This is my first fiction.
This must have been the hardest one to do.
Well, it was hard and easy at the same time. It was like I never imagined that I would write fiction. I never had an aspiration to do that. But I just started thinking about the characters, and I got this vision in my mind of this guy named Jake, who's the protagonist, and he's this young millennial who has a good job, but also has a lot of debt. Mm. And that debt is kind of like wearing on him and, you know, becoming soul crushing, and it affects the rest of his life. He's got this promising relationship, but not able to pay much attention to it.
Because he's working so hard.
Yeah, he's working hard, and his job is also kind of at risk. And he's like, what should I do, basically? Like, how do I get out of this situation? And this is so typical of so many people these days with student loan debt, other debt, you know, other situations. And so, you know, he's like, well, I can just work harder. But he's already a hard worker. That's not the problem. I can get a second job, but most second jobs don't pay good wages. You know, the gig economy, I can drive for Uber, but that's not going to change my life, right?
Right. TaskRabbit.
Exactly. Gig economy, like, really not going to do much for you. Yeah. You know? So he has to find his own way. He has to, like, learn how to make money for himself. And so he goes to this group, and, you know, together they kind of work on this. There's a lot more to it. But I wanted to, I just started thinking about this guy and his problems. And, you know, there's a lot of people who don't read business books for all kinds of good reasons, you know, but they read stories. And so I wanted to tell the story of self-reliance, essentially. So in some ways it's about money, it's about making money, but money connects to self-reliance and to being able to, like, make your own choices, you know, have freedom for yourself, mm-hmm. not rely on a company, not rely on an organization or anybody other than yourself, you know, even if you like your job.
Right, right.
So that's what that was about.
Self-reliance meaning figuring it out on your own?
Figuring it out on your own, and not just figuring it out on your own, but creating your own security, mm. your own stability. So that you don't have that debt, so that you have options, mm-hmm. so that you can do what's important to you, you know, which I know is a, you know, big part of the message right, of the School right, of Greatness, right? And you can't do that if you're kind of feeling this, you know, weighed down by debt.
What do you think most millennials are dealing with right now the most when it comes to money? Is it just that they're overspending, that they don't understand how to use money, that they don't understand investing, they don't understand saving tax?
Like, none of those things. None of those things.
What is it? What are they missing out on?
They're not making enough money. Actually,
okay.
That's the root of the problem. And so maybe some people are overspending. Maybe they need to learn more about investing. Like, that's, you know, fine. But those things are marginal, I think. Like, if you have a lot of debt and you don't have, you know, high income, you can, you know, stop buying lattes, right? You can, you know, be frugal and never eat out and all this kind of stuff.
And discipline your life.
Yeah, it's not bad to do that. But are you going to solve the problem if you're $30,000 in debt or $50,000 in debt? Which, you know, by the way, this is graduation season. Right, we got 2 million U.S. college graduates. 70% of them have significant student loan debt, and the average debt is like $30,000. So a lot of them could be a lot more. So if you're in that situation, being frugal is not really going to solve the problem. You actually have to make more money. That's mm-hmm. what you have to do. And they're also entering this job market, which is a lot different than, you know, a job market even just a generation ago or even a decade or two ago. Mm-hmm. That job market is not going to provide them with high-paying jobs that, you know, will provide the security for a long period of time. So they have to do something for themselves.
And why are there not high-paying jobs out there for people that are just graduating?
Because there's a lot of people just graduating.
Right.
Right? There's a lot of people just graduating. You know, the world has changed. The economy has changed. It's not that there are no high-paying jobs, that there are no good jobs. But I think job security has changed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so when I hear about millennials or Gen Z being kind of, you know, there's a stereotype of, like, being unreliable or, like, right. disloyal and stuff. I think, well, they don't trust the system, right? Because mm-hmm. the system has let them down. And they're the ones who have borrowed so much money because they're told this is what you have to do. You can't get any job without a college degree or without whatever the prerequisite is. So they do that, but then they're entering a system that's not looking out for them. So no wonder they're cynical and skeptical. But even though you're cynical and skeptical, you still have to solve the problem for yourself, right?
Because which is making more money.
It is making more money. You can't just get mad. You can't just be this sucks. It does suck, absolutely. But like in your documentary last night, I mean, you kind of went through this situation of, you know, just like being on your sister's couch mm-hmm. and, you know, life was not good in lots of ways. But you couldn't just get mad, right?
If you
get
mad, but that's not going to solve the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can get pissed off. I'm mad at whoever you're mad at, right? So you're mad at the government. You're mad at the corporation,
parents or whatever,
whoever it is, you know, whoever that other is. But meanwhile, you still have the problem. Mm-hmm. And the way you solve the problem, like, you have, for you, right, you had to figure stuff out. You started the LinkedIn business. You went on from that and, you know, got your health back and everything.
What about for people that are like, well, I'm just not a money earner. I'm more of an artist. You know, I'm more of a thinker, a planner, but I don't want to think about making more money. I don't have that skill set. So what can you do to learn how to earn? Because for me, I felt like I didn't know how to make money mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. It was out of necessity. It was out of, I'm broke, I'm in college debt, I don't have my father who can give me money anymore.
Right, right.
You know, my family's not giving me money, mm-hmm. so I can't beg for it anymore. I got to figure this out to survive.
Right. So I think what you need to do is, you know, get away from this model of quote unquote being an entrepreneur, because a lot of people don't relate to that. They don't connect to that. They feel intimidated by that. They watch shows, you know, Shark Tank, great show, but it's all about essentially begging people for money. You know, it's like, I need somebody else to come and give me their approval, you know, their investment, their capital. I can't succeed in my business without this investment. Whereas, like, the model that I'm trying to put forward, which I've, you know, been trying to talk about for years, is there's all kinds of people all over the world who aren't taking any capital. They're not going into debt. They're not, you know, spending on their credit cards. They're finding a way to like start their own little business. And like, I mean, it's all, you know, it's all in the book, The Money Tree, but also like I have this daily podcast, Side Hustle School, completely free. You know, every single day I'm telling a different story of somebody who's found a way to do this. Case study model. How do they get the idea? How do they make it happen? What was problematic or what difficulties did they encounter? And then how did they, you know, overcome those difficulties and rise to greatness?
Yeah. What's a story in, what's it called, Side Hustle Show?
Side Hustle School.
School. What's a great story in there that a millennial could relate to if they don't look at themselves as an entrepreneur, they think of earning money as an intimidating thing that they're not going to be good at?
Right, right.
But that someone had a case study where they took it out with their skill, their talent, and they made some extra money. What's a good story?
I've got people that range the gamut of, like, I've got a lot of artists, you know, people who wanted to, like, sell stuff on Etsy, and somebody who wanted to sell, like, dog collars, actually, on Etsy, starting with this really simple thing, you know, and she actually built that to, like, $1 million business. You know,
selling dog collars?
Dog collars, yep.
Wow.
On Etsy. Yep, we'll link it up. You know, like I said, artists, but also coders, you know, any technical skill you have. Whatever skill you have, I think that's also the first step, right? The first step is like this skills inventory. What am I good at? What am I really
good at? Skills inventory.
Yeah. So not what am I passionate about? What am I good at?
So if you're 22 graduating, what do you think, what are some of the common skills that most 22-year-olds might have from a liberal arts college type of experience, you know?
So I think what you're alluding to is like this question I have sometimes where people are like, I don't have any skills. I'm like,
what are the skills?
In a 2-minute conversation with any person, I have yet to be defeated in this challenge. I can pull out
Let's
some
defeat you.
I don't think it's possible. Everyone is an expert at something. That's what I believe. Everyone is an expert at something, right? Whether it's a hard skill, you know, like engineering or coding or something, or it could be like a soft skill. Like, what was the skill that allowed you to succeed with all the stuff you did with LinkedIn? I was thinking about that when I watched the documentary.
I was trying to figure out what were my skills after I was done playing football.
Right, because you played football. Did you graduate from college or not?
I left to play football. Right. Then I came back to graduate after I was in a cast and surgery and on my sister's couch. I was like, well, I should probably get a degree, even though it was 2008 when the economy was really bad. I should probably get a degree just to say I finished. I had like 5 credits left.
Okay, but how did you get into this? What was the skill that led you to say, I'm going to be a master connector on LinkedIn and start these groups? And
I think my skill was like, I'm a curious person.
Right.
But it was like, is that a skill? You know, you're
it's
like
a very valuable skill.
Yeah, I was like, I'm a passionate person. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. I'm a hard worker. Like, I can create a goal and then stay consistent to like accomplishing the goal.
Uh-huh.
So those were the things, but I wouldn't think you could turn that into some money-making
machine.
But
didn't you? Isn't that what you did?
But I did, yeah.
Okay.
But I think
so those are traits, you know, those are traits.
That's called a trait. Passion, curiosity, hard work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, passion, we could say maybe enthusiasm or something. Mm-hmm. I like the curiosity and the hard work because there's so many things that you could be curious about that other people might never notice, right? Mm-hmm. But you notice that there's like there's this whole like industry and people have this desire to connect and all that. And then you took action on it, right?
Yes.
And so, I mean, I think a 22-year-old has a lot of life experience and it's whatever they have learned through their education, whatever they've learned through their job, but also just in their life. And like, if they're playing Destiny at night, if they're, whatever they do with their friends, whatever their friends are asking them about, like they're an expert in something. Mm-hmm. I really believe that.
Yeah.
So there's gotta be a way to like pull it out and transform and adapt it. And the answer is not like, go get your MBA, right? That's not the answer.
Go spend 2 years, more money to find more skills.
And to learn how to be a middle manager, you know, in a Fortune 500 company, which is that's what's going to show you how to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what's the answer? If it's not to go get an MBA, what should it be? I've got to make money now.
Right.
I don't know how to I don't know what my skills are and how to translate them into money.
Great.
Or a side hustle or a side thing.
Yep. So in the book, the guy, Jake, he basically has the same situation. He's like, what am I good at? You know, I don't know how to, you know. And he goes to this group called the Third Way. And the guy gives him the Third Way group.
Mm-hmm. Third Way group.
The Third Way, yeah.
Okay. Not the second way.
Nope.
Third Way.
First way is like the old school model of starting a business. I write an 80-page business plan. I go to the bank. I get a loan.
Get a loan.
Right, yeah. Second way is the Silicon Valley way.
Go pitch, raise,
exactly,
investment.
That whole thing. Here's my slide deck, blah, blah, blah. You know, going to operate unprofitable. And third way, right, is like, here we are. We don't have access to those resources. We are 22 or however old we are. It doesn't really matter. We've got to make the money, you know. So he goes to the group and he gets this challenge. You know, Jake, you got to make $1,000 in the next week, you know. You got to make $1,000 in the next week. What are you going to do? And first, he has no idea, you know. And then he starts thinking, okay, well, you know, I had a college textbook. I had these college economics, you know, textbooks that I saved because I thought I would always use them as reference material. But they've been in his closet, you know, for 6 months. He's never taken them out. So he gets the textbooks out and he, like, lists them for sale on an online auction on eBay, mm-hmm. right? Starts making a little bit of money. Then he notices, like, oh, I can actually buy other textbooks and sell them because there's a whole continuous market for this.
Right.
And he realizes he can make $20 to $30 an hour doing that without knowing a whole lot about it, right. like without being an expert. Yeah. And so then he's like, okay, well, if I can do that, where can I get more textbooks? What else could I sell? And, like, one thing kind of leads to another, right? So he's sure. just, like, there is something in front of you you can do. I think maybe we ask people that, too. Ask, like, the listeners, the viewers, if you had to make $1,000 or whatever the number is.
What would you do?
What would you do? And, like, when you're oppressed, I feel like people can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if
when there's pressure on the line,
yeah.
when there's urgency,
a deadline,
when there's
yeah,
something
you have to.
At stake.
Exactly. So he starts going to, like, yard sales and buying and selling. And he's mm-hmm. not, like, the goal is not for every person to, like, become a professional yard sale reseller. But I would say if you've never made any money for yourself, like, it actually can be very empowering to make a small amount of money. It feels great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know
you
this, right?
$50 in a day, or $100
incredible.
In a day. It's like...
Like the first time you sold your course or whatever.
It's amazing. You're like, I am rich, right?
Uh-huh.
It just feels great
feels
to say,
so
like,
good.
You became an alchemist and you created
yes.
something from nothing.
Right. So you don't have
it's
to,
powerful.
Like, do the MBA thing. You don't have to, like, create my company. It's not about your company. You need to make money, right?
And if
you
don't start a company. Don't worry about a logo. Don't worry about a name.
None of that stuff.
Yeah, just make money.
Right. There's something you can do. Start a service, start a product. You know, lots of different examples in the book and on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's he do after that, though?
Well, so he does that for a while.
The third way. He goes the third way.
Right. And then, you know, the next challenge that he gets a second challenge. Second challenge is, okay, Jake, that's good that you learned how to do this, you know, but you probably don't want to do it for the rest of your life. The next challenge is to create a service,
mm-hmm.
essentially. So create a service, like the product is reselling. Your service is something that you're doing, you're providing for somebody, and they pay you money for that. It could be some kind of consultant thing, coaching thing, advisory thing, expertise, you know, whatever it is, go and create a service. And with that, he has a little bit of a false start. Actually, with that, he kind of goes and the first thing he tries doesn't work so well. I don't want to give away all the
okay.
secrets, but first, yeah, it doesn't
good.
Work so well.
Doesn't work.
And
he
doesn't lose money. This is the key thing. He doesn't lose money because he's not spending money. It's just a question of his time.
He's losing time and energy.
Which is valuable.
But he's learning
through the process.
It's his MBA.
Right. Without spending
the
tens of thousands of dollars exactly. or whatever. You know. So anyway, so he goes back to the group and they kind of debrief it. Like, why didn't it work, Jake? He's like, well, I thought it would work because...
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
You know, explains all the reasons. And then they kind of point out, actually, you're not really an expert. You thought you were an authority in this thing, but you're really not, you know, and... Also, the product wasn't really specific enough. The service wasn't really clear, like what you were trying to do, what the benefit was, how you're going to reach people, all that kind of stuff. So he learns this, you know, and then he goes back and creates a different service, mm-hmm. you know, kind of applies the lessons from there.
Okay. And that service, I'm assuming, takes off?
Eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Now, is there another thing after that?
In the last part of the book, there's another thing.
There's another thing.
Yeah.
To take it to a different level.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
So there's lessons. I think it's, mm-hmm. it's really hard to go from, like, I have... Don't know what my skills are, mm-hmm. never made any money before, to in the next 3 months, I'm going to magically make $1 million.
Yeah, well, I'm not telling people they can magically make $1 million in the
yeah,
next 3 months.
Exactly.
But I would say they can make $1,000 in the next month or whatever, and
right.
that's huge.
It's huge.
As we said, you know, that is huge, especially the first time, especially if you're in debt, if you're struggling, if you're trying to figure out, how am I going to get out of this situation of desperation?
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I mean, I would say almost in some ways, like the $1,000 in that situation is more powerful than the $1 million that comes later, I think, because of the mindset and what it does for
us. Absolutely. What do you think entrepreneurs and employers need to know about how to find the right talent that's coming out of school and how to inspire and empower them to stay with them? Because
right.
I feel like a lot of people say, well, I'm hiring these young people, and then they just leave within a few months. So I teach them, I train them, I educate them, I give them the skills. And they take it and they go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And start your own service.
Right. I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer that because I've always been self-employed. Sure. I wasn't good at working for other people,
yeah.
You know, and I'm also not a great manager. Like, I'm not trying to hire a lot of employees. You know, I would say...
So you have a small team.
Yeah, by design, because I know what I'm good at. You know, mm-hmm. I know what I'm good at, what I'm not good at. And, I mean, I think, you know, the classic things about, like, being open to your employees having your side hustle, like, providing them free understanding why they're motivated, because people are motivated differently, you know, as we know. Creating some sense of mission, like, we're doing this because, you know, like, we're not just doing this because of a sales goal. Like, that's important in a business, of course. But we have the sales goal because mm-hmm. this is how our company is trying to change people's lives. And the more resources we get, the more people will be able to help. I think just connecting to a sense of mission is always good.
Yeah. So how big is your team right now?
I have one person who works for me full-time.
Right.
I got a few people who work for me part-time. Yeah.
Wow.
And for things like, you know, WDS, the World Domination Summit, we have a team for that. But most people are volunteers.
Now, you launched this event, WDS,
that's right.
10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Exactly 10 years ago.
And it's the final year is happening.
That's right.
Just July?
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah, end of June and July.
End of June.
Mm-hmm.
And what were your biggest lessons from launching an event? Because you inspired me to launch my event almost five years ago.
It'll be
5 years
in September. Yeah.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
And I remember just being like, you did a great job of being different than everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I want to do it, I need mm-hmm. to be different than you and everyone else.
Of course, yeah.
And be my unique thing
and
bring a community together. So why did you do it 10 years ago? What was the biggest lessons from launching an event series for a decade, and why are you stopping?
I think when I started it, I felt that there wasn't anything else like it. And when I started it, I felt like there were all these people connecting in lots of little micro ways of, you know, going to be a digital nomad, or I'm going to be like an artist or an independent traveler, or, you know, start my little business, whatever it is. Or not even that, but just like I want to live my own life and like I don't want to do the same thing that, you know, and they were kind of disconnected, right? And like disparate and spread out.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially like doing your event in Ohio, I think is so important because so many of these people are not in like San Francisco or New York mm-hmm. or whatever. They don't have a connection to like a greater peer circle. So I wanted to kind of, you know, just bring those people together in one place and say, what kind of magic can we create together? But there wasn't like a great strategy behind it. I didn't know. I mean, I called it the World Domination Summit, you know, like I'm just, here it is, you know, let's just do it. And then it's been a wonderful experience. I think it's one of the few things that I've done that I can look back and say, like, I think it actually has like lasting value.
Mm.
I don't say that about all my projects at all. I mean, I think it's probably like 1 in 10, you know, that like actually this endures. So I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of the team and everyone who's been involved with it. But I think it's also important to end well. I think nobody does that.
Not like, okay, it's getting worse.
Right.
And more, like, or less just, and less people are interested.
Exactly.
Like, fizzle it out.
There's so many other events now. I mean, there's a lot of other events, a lot of other gathering places for people who are connected in that way. And yeah, I didn't want to just like peter out or just keep going for the sake of going, you know, because I mean, you know how it is. A lot of work that goes into this.
A lot of work.
Right? More than people
think.
Full
year planning. And
it's not just the event. The event is wonderful. It's like everything that leads up to it. And so I thought, let's actually plan for an ending rather than just like have it end. So we announced it 3 years out, you know, 2 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
said it's going to end, you know, in year 10. And interestingly enough, you know, that's brought this revitalization to it. Like, just so weird.
Everyone wants to be there.
Yeah,
everyone's
which is this weird.
How do I get a ticket?
I know, it's the strangest marketing lesson. I feel like I should end WDS every year.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, every year.
It's
like,
going away.
It's going, okay, it's back this year only. You
scarcity
know?
Is the most powerful thing.
I know, it's usually. So funny. But I think just, it's not just with that. It's also with the team, like the core team that works on it. When we said we were going to end it, you know, at the end of every year previously, I'm always worried. I'm like, should I ask them to come back? They're going to be burnt out.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I hate it. You know, and like they're so valuable, but I don't want to take advantage of it. But when we said it was going to end in 3 years, like pretty much all of them were like, I'm in. I want to see it through.
Wow.
And so I think that's been really good. And so it does, you know, some parts of me are really sad about it ending for sure.
It's going to be over like this, and then how do you feel?
I'm going to feel terrible actually, but I know it's the right thing.
Why is it the right thing to end something that people love and they want more of?
Because as I said, nobody ends anything well,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the DNA of the experience is still there. The experience is not like the ticket that I purchase in this city that I travel to and this hotel that I stay in. It's in the relationships, and those relationships have gone on and on, and like all kinds of stuff has happened out of them. And like, you know, we've had, you know, marriages and families and kids and businesses and all this stuff. And so that's valuable. And I'm going to keep doing that in different ways. You know, I'm just going to do different things.
Yeah. Are you gonna be sad? You think the last day, the day after, like
all
the next year all. When it's the same month?
Yeah, all.
So
I was sad last year actually when I was going through the rehearsal. I was like, next year this time I'm gonna be
the last rehearsal.
Yes. Yeah, it scared me actually. But
so I'm going into my fifth year
right.
of Summit of Greatness.
Right.
And I'm trying to think of ways to, and last year was bigger than ever.
Yeah, it's hard to keep one in yourself.
It's hard, you know. Every time I see photos of your event, there's always some new crazy thing. I'm like, gosh, how does he make any money off of this thing?
Yeah.
You don't.
No, I don't.
Exactly. We don't make money off this thing. Yeah. But the energy and the connections are like priceless.
Yes, absolutely.
So what advice would you have for me going into year five?
You're doing great, man. I don't have any advice for you. You have your finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would just say, like, enjoy those moments. Don't forget why you started it. Like, when
that's
you
true.
Get in the place where it is frustrating, because if it hasn't frustrated you yet, it will.
It has frustrated me.
And that's honest.
The production and, side of things.
And that's honest and true, and, like, you should own that, because that's just the reality. You just have to kind of remember, like, why am I doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is for the connections and the community. And, you know, it's not just for that moment when you're on the stage. That's fun. But that, to me, is, like, the 1%. You know, and the 99% is like just the impact and the engagement of people. But you know it.
Yeah.
So you don't need my advice.
What do you think is, there seems like there's millions and millions of entrepreneurs right Ooh. Now. And side hustlers and
sure.
freelancers. There's, I don't know, tens of millions probably in the
USA.
A lot of people. But it seems like only a few people really stand out and make a big mark.
Mm.
Like whether it be online or get thousands of people to come to an event or, you know, sell 100,000 plus copies of a book. It seems like it's a small amount of people. What do you think it's going to take for people to really break out in their space and as an entrepreneur in any type of industry? But what's going to take them as an individual or their brand to break through?
I think we have to think about impact a little bit differently, because not everyone is going to have, you know, a million followers, and not everyone's going to have that kind of breakout success, and that's okay, because they can still have a lot of impact, you know, and I think this is really important, because mm-hmm. your goal is not to chase a vanity metric. And if you do that, you know, I'm not suggesting you've ever done that, but sometimes in my life, it's like, oh, I should get more of this, whatever this number, is it book sales? Is it this, you know?
Downloads,
yeah,
followers.
Yeah, exactly. That's dangerous. And I think a lot of people don't have a huge number, whatever that is, of those things, but they are still making a real impact. A lot of people have impacted
yeah.
my life. You know,
yeah.
I think about who's impacted my life the most. I think about, maybe we talked about this before, I don't remember, but like the couple that inspired, the couple that made me think about going to live in West Africa. Like, this guy's a doctor, you know, surgeon in California, and has spent his whole life over there. He doesn't have an Instagram account.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a YouTube channel, nothing. But the impact he's made, not just on me, but on, like, Scott Harrison from Charity Water, lots and lots of other people, it's huge. His impact is far more than mm-hmm. mine, you know, or anybody doing this kind of stuff. So impact has to be measured differently than
yeah.
just that.
It's funny, my friend and coach, Chris Lee, he was in the documentary as
yeah,
well.
Son.
He was over at my place before the documentary, and there was a magazine, a Success magazine, with like 10 of us on the cover, and
right.
he saw my face on the cover with all this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, this is amazing. He goes, I'm more excited to see your face on the cover than if my face was on the cover. Like,
yes.
I'd rather you be building a platform.
Uh-huh.
And I think there are certain people that impact mm-hmm. people who have big audiences,
mm-hmm.
and that's exciting for them.
That's great.
They don't need to be the one.
Yeah,
that's
so they need to remember that. They need to remember that, because sometimes it can be hard.
Because
you know?
You can impact a few people in a big way that
yeah.
could then
it's
change
depth.
The world.
There's depth to it. There's lots of different ways to think about impact.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the greatest skill for every entrepreneur or side hustler to get? If they had no skills, like, what's the skill that you should master today?
Asking questions, like curiosity, which you said earlier, asking like, what is that? You know, like, what's, you know, the daily annoyances that we encounter, the problems, the inefficiencies, you know, asking like, what could be a different way to do this? What could be a better way to do this? Like, and if you're annoyed by something, probably a lot of other people are annoyed by it too, you know? And so maybe also, I talked earlier about like focusing on skills more than passion,
mm-hmm.
maybe also thinking about what bothers you more than like what excites you is good. What bothers you about the world? You know,
because people pay like, for a solution to pain.
Yes,
sometimes also, more than they will for pleasure.
Right, and I feel like, you know, even like the School of Greatness, it's I mean, I'd be curious to know, like, you know, your one sentence behind it or something. But like, to me, it's providing this positive message, but it's also like pushing against something. It's pushing against the notion of mediocrity. It's pushing against like complacency. You know, I'm bothered by being complacent. You know, years ago, how many years ago was that that you were on the couch, your sister?
10 years ago.
10 years ago, yeah. Right? And you were complacent for a time.
Yeah.
And it bothered you. Finally, you're like, I got to get up off this thing, right?
And I was sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Right. So it wasn't so much about being passionate. It was like, I am sick of this. Mm-hmm. I want something more. So I think thinking about curiosity, like asking the questions, and then also like what really bothers me. I think that's motivating.
So would you call that a soft skill then? Like curiosity?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know if I label it per se. Yeah. A skill, a trait, you know. But I think it's something that can be acquired, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that can, it's not like something that you go to school for. It's not something innate.
Yeah.
Anybody who's listening or watching this, they've already kind of like raised their hand and said, like, I want to be great. I want to be better than I am. Mm-hmm. Isn't that greatness, right? It's not meeting some objective, you know, standard or threshold. It's like to be better than I am. You could always be better.
Yeah.
No matter what you achieve, it can always be something.
Now, I'm curious about mentorship because especially we're talking about more of like millennials right now. It seems like a lot of them are looking for mentors. Mm. They're looking for people to support them. They're looking for advice, right?
Yeah.
If curiosity is the main thing, you got to ask people questions who know answers.
Sure.
But the people who are mentors are usually pretty busy. They're doing things and they may not have the time for a millennial.
And they may not be the best person to talk to that person.
It's true.
I would say as well.
So how does someone find the right mentor or advice when everyone's spreading advice online?
Yeah. Okay. Well, when I say asking questions, I don't just mean asking questions of an expert. You know, Lewis, tell me how to do this. Yeah. You can also be asking questions of yourself. You know, like discoverability or reverse engineering something. You know, this thing didn't work. What's a better way it could work? You know, just thinking through steps and processes or even it doesn't have to be waiting for someone to bestow their knowledge from the mountaintop per se. You know, and like, to be fair, like in the book, there is a mentor figure essentially. So it's not like I'm against all mentorship. But I think for a lot of people, when they ask for advice, they're really asking for affirmation as opposed
permission.
To permission. Yeah. Like, what do you think about this idea? Your friends are like, what do you think about this idea?
That's great.
Yeah, that's what they want you to think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so...
it's a great idea. You should do it.
It's okay. It's okay to know that about yourself and to know, you know, actually, I think... I say that I want people to tell me what to do, but I know what I need to do. I just need to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's so much knowledge within yourself, within, like, the human self and spirit that I think before it, you figure out, you go on this quest to find the right mentor, it's like, what can I learn on my own?
Mm. We're looking for confirmation. We're looking for permission from our friends. We tell them an idea. Why are we so afraid to just do it on our own? Why do we need the confirmation of other people in order to go out there and just do it?
I think because somehow this has been ingrained upon us that we don't make decisions on our own, right? Maybe it's through like the education process, maybe through like growing up as a kid, you're always looking to your parents or whoever. So it's not always a bad thing, but somewhere it kind of changes from like, you know, okay, I'm growing up, but now I have to make my own decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think traditional systems don't really support independent thinking of this way of life. And that's probably why I've been able to do what I've done is, like, I dropped out of high school, right? And, like, I didn't, like, pursue this path. And I wasn't...
Did you go to college or no?
I went to college later. Okay. Like, snuck into college. It's a whole other story.
Wow.
But then, like...
Did you get a GED or something or what?
No, I went to community college and they never checked anything, right? Mm-hmm. And then I transferred to, like, a four-year institution. I was a transfer student, so they didn't check that.
Wow. You
know? Yeah, so then I actually finished...
Like, there was loopholes.
It was like a little hack, but I didn't know at the time. No, I went to graduate school later and everything, but I think because also I wasn't good at working for people. I learned that at an early age also. I was not good at it. I was not a good employee. You know, I had this job. I've never told this story before. I had this job for 2 days as a telemarketer.
Wow.
Like, it was the worst. I mean, it's the worst thing.
Horrible.
Yeah. I'm so glad it was so bad because if I had been like mediocre at it, that would have been the worst. You know,
you've been doing it for like 3 years.
Yeah. Can you imagine? But I did it for 2 days. And at the end of the second day, like, I was just I was terrified to like even dial, you know, the number. Right. I was like trying to sell like photography portrait packages or something. And like, I don't think I sold a single one. And at the end of the second day, like, I went to the boss and I was like, you know what, you know, if you need to find somebody else, you know, I understand. And he's like, well, that's good because we already did, basically.
Wow.
And I was
so
like,
you're
okay.
Fired.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, mutual.
Sure, sure.
But the thing I think about now is like, It's not like, why did I think that would be a good job for me? It's more like, why did I go back the second day? Like, why did I even do that? But so I learned at a young age, I have to kind of like find my own way. And so I think that was very fortunate for me. So if anybody's watching now and they haven't had that experience, okay, well, now it's your time.
Yeah.
Now, there is something you can do. There is a textbook you can sell. There is a service you can create. Don't worry about the MBA thing. Don't worry about the Shark Tank thing. There's something you can do right now.
Have you ever made a decision without asking anyone else's opinion first on like a project you want to launch, like a book, like I'm doing this book.
Always.
And not ask other people?
Well, this book in particular, actually, it's funny because it's fiction. It's my first time to ever do it. So I didn't know if I could do it. I could do it well. And so I wrote the entire book.
First?
Three drafts of it, I think.
No way.
Before like my agent saw it, before we took it to any publisher. So, you know, for those who don't know, with like a nonfiction book, you write a proposal, you write like a sample, and then you write the book. But no, we pitched the whole book. And we're like, here's the book. No proposal. Like, here's the manuscript. I had to do it that way because I wanted to know that I could feel confident about it. You know, I wanted to like, do I actually believe in this work? And so I didn't ask anybody about it. I just did it.
And how was the response for something brand new that you've never done?
The agent
was like, I love it. This is going to be easy.
I think the main response at first was like, we want to see it. Like, let's see it, right? You know, but then actually I got really good feedback about it. And I really am hopeful it's going to reach a lot of people. And not just reach people, but I really hope it's going to help people, you know, to move forward in their lives and make positive changes.
Now, did the publisher pick it up right away? Or did you have to go to multiple publishers? Or how did that work?
I mean, there was definitely some discussion about it. There was some, like, the marketing. Just how do we frame this? What shelf do we put it on in the bookstore? You know, publishing is all about categories, right? You know, so there's definitely a little bit of discussion about that.
Sure, but it was fine. They liked it. Yeah. They were like, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
So did you feel like you needed anyone else to look at it first before you gave it to your agent? Like a friend or a buddy?
No, I mean, I got some feedback. I got feedback. I want to be clear. Like, I wrote 7 drafts of this, first of all, which I've never written 7 drafts of a book ever.
Right.
This is book number 7. Usually I write like 3 drafts. So it's probably the most work I've put into a project. But it has been made better along the way, you know, by, you know, people who've read it, by my agent, by my editor. So I'm grateful to that.
Yeah, yeah. It's great, man.
But no, I don't think people need somebody to say, yes, you should write a book, Lewis. I mean, when you wrote a book, did somebody come and say you should write a book? Didn't you know you wanted to do it at some point? It was like, when is the right time? So,
But I think a lot of people are afraid to launch something without the approval of other people.
Who gave you permission to start your podcast?
No one.
Who came and said, Lewis, you have the authority to start a LinkedIn course, you know, or a LinkedIn networking meetup?
No one.
And who said, Lewis, now the time is right for you to create a documentary?
No one.
Okay. So I think this is not just the philosophy that needs to apply to Lewis House, but to everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a documentary, a book, a podcast. It can be whatever is in front of them, whatever that next step is.
Yeah. I'm curious, what's the big dream? I hate asking this question if you don't answer it, because the summit is over at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
This book is going to be out. It's going to impact a lot of people, I already know. But now that you're letting go of something, like you're putting this out there, but you're letting go of something for 10 years, are you thinking of like, okay, I'm open to the new space. It's going to allow me to create something. I don't know what it is yet. Or do you have some new ideas that you're already excited about?
I don't have a master plan. I really don't.
It's pretty nice to have that, though. When you have no plan, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's different.
To be in a different space.
It is different because I am...
I'm always planning.
I'm always planning. I always have a routine. I mean, I'm still, like, I'm doing this podcast still every day, right? I'm going to write more books. I love to do this.
Side Hustle School?
Yeah.
Is there another podcast, too?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Maybe next year.
We'll see. I'm going to keep doing, like the work that I'm doing, but I might have space for something else. We'll see.
Yeah. It's great, man. It's exciting. Well, the book is going to be out. You can pre-order it now. You can get the book. Where can we go? What's the main website for it? It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, but is there a site?
You can go to moneytreebook.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Moneytreebook.com. I've actually got this thing called a book registry I'm doing where any college student...
Are you getting married?
No, it's not to get married. It's to get a free book if you're a college student or a recent graduate with student loan debt. We're trying to match people. We're trying to match... people who need the book, essentially, with book donors. So you can also be a book donor and buy copies of the book for strangers. And we're using like a blockchain technology. And if people choose to opt in, we can share their information. So you kind of see like who's getting the book and all that. So
if I want to buy 10 books, I can put $100-something in this system at
moneytreebook.com. Yes.
I can put it in and then it'll give the book to however many people.
And you'll see some notifications. You'll be able to see like where it's going in the United States. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. So how do you?
We'll see if it works. I mean, like, this is like the early days of it, but
I'm figuring out. That's pretty cool. Uh-huh. So people can buy books and donate it to kids.
Yes.
To students.
Yeah, and then all my profits from the book registry are going to Teach for America. Wow. So for 90 days after the book launch, everything that goes to the book registry for me goes to Teach for America.
Wow. So is this a system that you built? Because
yeah, I didn't build it myself, but it was my idea. Yeah.
I
work with some really smart people. So yeah,
I got to use this for my next book. If it works out.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. Okay, The Money Tree, a story about finding the fortune in your own backyard. Who should buy this then, and who's going to get the most value out of it?
Anyone who wants to create greatness in their life. I just love like greatness. Here I am. Right. Okay, but no, let's break it down more. Anybody who's in a situation where they feel stuck. Anyone in this situation?
Financially
stuck or career stuck or just like I'm not doing enough with my life or I want a different direction. It's a book about change, but it's a story, so it's very readable. I think anyone can read it.
I love that. For me, I get excited when I see it's each chapter is like a page or three pages. I'm like, oh, I can get through it because when it's 20 pages, it's hard for me. So this is my type of book.
There you go, man.
I love it. Chris, thank you, man. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Lewis.
Appreciate it. This is going to
help
a lot of people.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
Thanks, bro.
Appreciate it.
I hope you got a lot of value out of this one. If you did, make sure to share it with a friend. Just take a screenshot of this, post it on your Instagram story, use the link lewishouse.com/937, or just copy and paste the link on the Apple Podcast or Spotify app or anywhere that you're listening to this and text a friend right now. You have the power to truly inspire someone in your life by sharing this with them. You can change someone's life forever with the right story, the right tool, the right inspiration. You never know where we're going to hear something or relate to something that unlocks something within us to start making changes and improvements in our life. So think about someone you really care about and send them this link right now, lewishouse.com/937. Make sure to check out the book, The Money Tree, Finding the Fortune in Your Backyard, which is out right now. Check that out. Follow Chris as well. We've got the full show notes and information back at lewishouse.com/937. If this is your first time here, welcome to the party. It's like a dance party for your mind and heart and soul. And we want to give you the best stuff possible in the world to help you live a greater life. So please subscribe to us over on the School of Greatness on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you're listening to podcasts. Check out our YouTube channel. We've got some incredible videos over there with mind-blowing content that we don't put out on here. It's different than here as well. And leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts. Those reviews help us really spread the message even more. So any of these things will help us impact more lives, and that does more good for the world. We appreciate you so very much. And if you're interested in building a side hustle, we've got a free masterclass right now. Go to lewishouse.com/now to sign up. It's free, and I'm going to give you the proven process on how I got out of the last economy downturn in 2008 to 2010, where I had no money, living on my sister's couch, not sure what to do, in college debt, credit card debt, and how I built a side hustle business during that time into a multiple seven-figure business within a couple of years. I want to teach you that process at lewishouse.com/now. And as Mark Twain said, the lack of money is the root of all evil. Love this stuff. I love questioning our beliefs. I love learning new things. I hope you're enjoying this as well. And as always, you matter. What you care about matters. Your dreams matter. So go out there and start tackling your dreams one day at a time. And as always, you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.